Now, turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. We are continuing our study of the days of creation. Not so much in the light of dispensations, but in the light of personal living. Now, I did something that very seldom happens to me. I brought my Bible. I brought everything except the notes. Now, some people don't use notes. I had a brother after me. He's now with the Lord. He said, how do you use notes? He would have some notes and close the notes and just talk. But I am held best by my notes. And I'm reminded of Professor Brewster. Professor Brewster taught us mathematics, what they call calculus, the contribution of Sir Isaac Newton. And he had all the problems of the book solved and written out in his notebook. So if you raised your hand and asked the question, he would say, what page? What problem? But he would turn to it all solved. So we concluded that Professor Brewster didn't know very much math. And one day, stormy day, snow was about 3 feet high, in walked Professor Bruce, and he didn't have his notebook. And we said, we're going to have some fun. And I can see him now. He was a stout man. And as soon as he sat down, hands went up. Questions. He said, well, I guess I'll have to show you. And he went to that blackboard, and he was sorry he didn't have his notebook. He knew so much math. He didn't know what he was talking about. The notebook held him to our level. Now, I'm not saying that about the notes I have, but they prevent me from straying. At least they keep me in line. Genesis chapter 1, please. Verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Oh, dear young people, nothing evolved. God created everything. And if you see something created that is not so pleasant, it's because of sin. Everything that God made was perfect. 16. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening and morning were the fourth day. Or there was morning and there was evening the fourth day. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His word. Now, there's one word that occurs in the verses that we have read more frequently than any other word. And may I suggest that that's a nice way to know, to approach a subject in the Bible. I think of Proverbs 30, that wonderful, wise woman, and the present day, and I mark you, I have nothing against ladies. I have one wife and three daughters and two granddaughters, so I have nothing against them. But the present idea is to what they call elevate women. Now, dear sisters, the greatest job in all the world is the one that our sister here just started. Motherhood. Don't be deceived by what the world says. Now, notice one word, as I said, occurs here. And in Proverbs chapter 30, I hear believers tell, well, she went to work. She was a businesswoman. Fine. You missed the point. There is one word in that chapter that occurs more than any other word. You know what that word is? Home. Home. Household. And that's the leading word in that chapter, even though she did go to work. Now there is one word that occurs here more frequently than any other word. Verse 16, to rule the night, to rule the day, to not the day. Verse 18, to rule over the day and over the night. Rule. Now where there is rule, there must be submission or subjection to the rule, or the rule's no good. This is springtime. And I like flowers. Azaleas. All those other nice. How do you think you got there? They are subject to the rule of the sun. And then the tides at night, ocean tides and river tides. I remember once I was at the into the Hudson River there, and the tide came in. It almost got me. I just got out in time. The moon controls the tides. But that means that the waters are subject to the rule of the tide, to the rule of the moon. And the testament for us today is subjection to rule. And the one example that we have of that in Genesis is Isaac. Now, let's start first Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21 as a basis for all that we shall be saying. And by the way, a law or a rule without a penalty is simply good advice. And when God gave the 10 commandments, he didn't give 10 suggestions. He meant those to be obeyed. And when he gives a rule, he means it to be obeyed. And we want to look and see how Isaac was submissive to rule, divine rule. Chapter 21, please. Verse 5. Very important. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So there was 100 years difference between father and son. Now, please bear that in mind, because that's going to be very, very important. Now then, to that familiar chapter, please, chapter 22. We'll start at verse 1. Bearing in mind that Abraham was 100 years older than his son. It came to pass after these things that God did try or tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Now look at verse 2. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. How do you say his own son? Didn't Abraham have one for? Son of the name Ishmael? And when Ishmael was born, Abraham prayed, Oh, please let him be the one, let him be the one through whom the blessings that our brother has been overcome. If then Ishmael was the first and Isaac the second, in what sense was Isaac his only son? That's homework. Makes a nice study. Instead of looking at the TV so much, and I'm not against TV, the answers to some of these things in the Bible. It's fascinating. Take Isaac, your only son, and yet he had Ishmael before. Whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, Abraham, you take your son, and you just start going. I'll tell you where to go and which mountain. No wonder Abraham was a man of faith. He's going somewhere. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. You don't have much sense. If I were to do that today, suddenly, with or without family, decided, I'm going, where are you going, Arthur Garn? I don't know. You wouldn't think much of it, would you? Well, that's exactly what happened with Abraham. Abraham, verse 3, rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him, of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon his son Isaac. He took fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, verse 9, and remember that Abraham is 100 years older than his son. I have not been able, and I haven't found anyone able to tell us how old Isaac was at this time. But it is generally thought he was either an older teenager or in his early 20s. 100 years difference between him and there. Now let's read verse 9. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son. How do you do that? He was 100 years old in his son. Young, strapping fellow. How are you going to buy? How's a 100-year-old man going to buy? Well, that would be like me taking somebody like Matthew here or some of these other young people and decide, I'm going to wrestle with him. That's nonsense. And here is Isaac, strong. His daddy, old man. And yet the old man bound him, and Isaac didn't say one word. Submission. He submitted to the will of his father, which was the will of God. And this is what God would have us as his people to do, to submit to the Lord. He offered no resistance. Isn't that remarkable? You younger fellows, say like Michael and Matthew, suppose a 100-year-old man came to you and decided he's going to tie you up. Would you let him? And you wouldn't have much difficulty in defeating him either. You're a strong, stalwart, old man, ready for the grave. You wouldn't have any trouble. And I don't think that Isaac would have had any trouble, but he submitted. You don't read that he said a word. He simply asked, where is the lamb? And then his father bound him, and he offered no resistance. Chapter 24, please. Again, I want to remind us of the age difference. Abraham was 100 years older than Isaac. Chapter 24, verse 1. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. This is a long time after the incident with Isaac. He's really old now and stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. How many of you young men are going to let it be this way? You going to let your daddy choose your wife? Submission. Now, among the many trainees that I had, there were people from various parts of the earth, and I got to know these fellows. And I would talk to them. And I spoke to one fellow, he was from India. And as we got to talking, he told me of various things that were true of his home and so forth. And then I said, well, are you married? He said, oh, yes. I said, well, what happened? He said, my father chose my wife for me. I said, well, how did you feel about that? He said, I felt fine. I said, well, how is that? He said, my father loves me. My father wants the best for me. Therefore, I let him choose my wife. Young man, how about it? That's not the trend these days in this part of the world. But he submitted. Now, he's a grown man. He can find a wife for himself. But his daddy said, I'm going to choose your wife. And he didn't come back. He submitted. Acts chapter 2. Now, we're going to deviate a little bit, but we're coming back. And let me say in advance, on Wednesday night, we'll finish the subject. The submission of Isaac. Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, Lord and Christ. What does Lord mean? What does Lord mean? Actually, there's no one word that defines Lord. There are certain concepts that together make for an understanding of the word Lord. The Lord, word Lord means master. It means ruler. It means owner. It means controller. It means potentate. It means sovereign. And it means that you should respect the person. Now, all of those things are involved in that one word, Lord. Now turn with me, please, to Romans 10 and 9. Well-known verse. There are probably those here who were led to the Lord through the exposition of this verse. Romans 10 and 9. I dare say that most of us can recite this from memory. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, now many of your Bibles say the Lord Jesus. The better translation is Jesus as Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you see. When, beloved, you took the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you confessed him as Lord. That was included in your taking the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He is Lord. Luke 6, please. I repeat, when we took the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he became Lord. Luke 6, verse 46. I want everybody to have it. This is crucial. If he's Lord, why call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Oh boy, is he a Lord? Do you do what he says? I repeat, when we took the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he became our Lord. Don't call him Lord unless you're going to do what he says. Submission to the Lord. Genesis chapter 19, please. Submission to the Lord. Is he truly Lord? Genesis chapter 19. Let's start at verse 50, though we're interested primarily in verse 18. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and it brought him forth. You know, this is remarkable. Angelic host taking him by hand, taking the wife by hand, and taking the two daughters by hand. That's remarkable. The mercy of God. He really wanted to save. Look, we read on. Verse 17. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said, verse 18, oh, not so, my Lord. You get what I'm getting at? Don't call me Lord unless you're going to do what I say. Not so, my Lord. Two don't go together. He's either Lord or he's not Lord. But the minute you say not so, on that occasion, he's not Lord. And so I ask you, love, is he Lord? Lord means absolute obedience to him. John chapter 21, please. John chapter 21. Verse 15. Not so, Lord. Something's wrong. 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord. That's Peter speaking. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou, do you love me? And he answered, yea, Lord. Lord. Now Peter's calling him Lord. Remember what we read. Why call me Lord and don't do what I say? The minute we refuse to do what the Lord says, for that occasion, he's not Lord. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord. Very nice. Peter confessed him as Lord. Acts chapter 10, please. Peter called him Lord. The Lord said, don't call me Lord unless you're going to do what I say. Lot said, not so, Lord. Two don't go together. I like to put these things, I'm not a mathematician, I know. Please understand that. We have mathematicians in our midst, Brother English here, Gray, Brother Fleister. They're mathematicians, I'm not. But now let us read. Where shall we start from? Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet or knit at four corners and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air, there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. The next verse. Peter says, not so, Lord. You get what I'm getting at? Rise, the voice from heaven tells him, and eat. Peter says, not so, Lord. The not so and the Lord don't go together. Again, we go back to the mathematicians. You remember when you were doing math, especially algebra, you had what we call equations. Remember those things? You have something on this side, an equal sign, and then something on this side. But if I say not so, then I have to put a line through the equal sign when I say Lord. Anytime I contradict the Lord, I disobey the Lord, I am not in fellowship with Him. He is not Lord. He is either Lord over all, or He isn't Lord at all. I ask you, beloved, is He Lord? Verse 14, Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. The voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, thou shalt not call common or unclean. And this happened three times. Not so, Lord. Now, ordinarily, I go over the time. And I promise you the time back. I'm giving it back unto you. The lesson from Isaac is submission. Bear in mind that Abraham was 100 years older than his son, and yet when he went to bind the son, we don't read that the son offered any resistance. Do we offer resistance to the Lord? Are we subject to him? Do we submit to him? And in the important things in life, one of the most important things in life is marriage. Is it of the Lord? I have known some young ladies, with all due respect, I have nothing against ladies. I have one wife, 3 daughters, 2 granddaughters. I have nothing against them. But I have seen them in New York, right in the assembly there. Well, he's on his way to hell. And she tells him what to say to the elders. How long do you think the wedding lasts? Not very long. And another thing, as I told you sometime recently, when we speak from this platform, we give information that you pay a lot of money to get on the outside and don't get the information. These counselors. Do you know who's the greatest counselor of all? Read with me in Isaiah chapter 9. The greatest, you don't have to pay all these fees for counseling. Verse 6. We know this well. Now, I'm going to change the punctuation in one place, and I'm told that from the Hebrew, I'm correct in doing so. Now let's read. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Again, for homework, beloved, young folks, what's the difference between a child and a son? Why didn't he say a son was born and a child was given? Why did he put it in the order that he did? What's the difference between a child and a son? That's homework. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now, your Bibles have a period, a comma there. Take the comma out. You can do it, and you will not be disturbing or mismanaging the word of God. In the original, that's the way it occurs. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. So what do you need all these other people for? When you want counsel, go to the Wonderful Counselor. And as I was saying, you young ladies and young men, marry believers in the Lord. Another little thing that comes to mind. There is no such thing as falling in love. If you fall, you're going to get hurt. You don't fall in love. The Lord didn't fall in love with Israel. He said, I have set my affection upon you. You put your affection on the person and let it stay there. Yes, John. What's that? Good. Tell us, please. Absolutely. Go to the Lord when you want advice. That's all in this book. You'd be amazed how much is in this book. You talk about science. A lot of science in this book. I have told this before. I'll only repeat it in part. Cardiovascular resuscitation. Doesn't that sound important? Don't let these big words disturb you. Hey, those fellows don't know any more than you do. Cardiovascular CPR. What is it? Person faints. His vital signs are failing, and you want to revive it. When I went to school, they taught us that you put the patient face down and do what you're going to do. We've learned a lot since that, but it's over 60 years, and now you put the patient face up. What did Elijah do when he restored that child? Face down or face up? Mouth to mouth. But they even knew that back then. We're just learning. Value this book. There's a whole lot in it. And you can sit and be thrilled. Some people like to be thrilled. This will thrill you. The wonderful things in this book. Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. And the Authorized Version gives it the Everlasting Father. I like Darby's translation. Do you know what it is? Anybody have Darby? The Father of Everlasting. Now, don't ask me to explain it, but I like it. It's a beautiful translation. My Lord is the Father of Everlasting. When did Everlasting start? There's no beginning. Well, He's the Father of it. Doesn't that make you feel good? That's your Lord. Enjoy Him. I'm going to stop. I owe you a few minutes. I'm going to ask us to sing one hymn, please. Number 89. What is our piano? Oh, the piano's left? Sure. Thank you, brother. Oh, lovely, lovely. Number 89. Oh, that's nice. We want you to come down? Ready? Lord of glory, we adore.